to go. Taco to
and a big queue.
Taco to go.
Taco to go. Trip Taco just $2.99. Comes with a big Q, this deal so fine. Brisket breakfast, so much to choose for $2.99. You really can't lose.
Taco to go, taco to.
This deal legit.
Taco to go, taco.
Only at Quick Trip.
Taco to go, taco to go, taco to go. $2.99.
And Juan Soto's lack of hustle last night let us all stand up. Not turn our back, but just stand up. And applaud Tiki Barber.
Thank you.
Let's go.
Thank you, Bleacher Creatures. Some of people in the stadium booed, but I saw you, Bleacher Creatures. I saw you stand up when Juan Soto came out to right field, and you did what I told you to do. You turned around and looked at the back of the stadium and did nothing.
That's right.
At all. Thank you, Bleacher Creatures.
Excellent work by Tiki. He's not getting enough credit. You know, Gary Cohen didn't give him credit. Michael Kay didn't give him credit. Even Boomer this morning didn't give him credit. Keith McPherson not giving him credit. And that's okay, because the reality is we all know how and why that happened. Because for 2 months, Tiki Barber would take 30 seconds out of every freaking show. We weren't even talking about baseball. And Tiki would jam that baseball talking, as he's known to do.
Just the Soto talk. That's all I cared about.
And he got what he wanted.
If you know, you know, right? As the kids would do, I-Y-K, Y-K.
Close enough.
If you know, you know.
Yeah.
I-Y-K, Y-K. I-Y-K, Y-K. And really, the Yankee fans, I thought, did a mostly brilliant job over the weekend, because they did everything.
Yeah.
Like, I saw Sean on Friday. We were at the game Friday, and in his first at-bat, he did the turnaround like you suggested. In his second at-bat, now granted, the Mets were down 4-0, I think, at this point, but he stood up and cheered and said, "Thank you for the World Series, Juan!"
Good for you, Sean.
I did.
Got a couple heads turning around looking at me.
Like, what the heck?
Yeah, why are you doing this? You're wearing a Yankee hat. Why are you cheering?
And then he followed it up by screaming at the top of his lungs, "Let's go Celtics," which
that was a nice icebreaker.
Which was quite a spectacle.
Talk about an ass-kicking, but we'll get to that.
But Yankee fans, they chanted, "We have Grisham." Look, the F. Juan Soto stuff, I think, is classless. Like, I wouldn't go the curse route, but I thought overall the Yankee fans had a lot of fun with it. You know, there was even a sequence. I'm not sure if this was shown on TV, but Juan Soto threw a ball to the stands, into the crowd. I think it was the final out of an inning or whatever it was. And the crowd threw it back at him. I thought that was hysterical.
That's awesome.
And Juan even started the festivities off well on Friday night by doing the mock tipping of the hat.
Yep.
The problem was it was all downhill after that from Juan Soto.
Yeah. It did add, though. I mean, at least on Friday he got on base a lot.
He did.
He just walked.
Yes.
Yeah. But I think in the end he had a great throw home, too. That was a great moment Friday night. Good for Juan on that moment.
That was a terrible throw home. But he also threw to the wrong base last night, and luckily it didn't come back and kill him.
Right, missed the cutoff guy.
Yes.
I'll say this, if we could separate like the Met problem with Juan Soto and the Yankee fans having fun with it. The Subway Series is a fun spectacle every year. The Juan Soto thing added something this weekend, having been to 2 or 3 games. It was a lot of fun, a lot of energy. It was great.
Here's the way I would look at it to back up your point about what it added. And I don't want any Yankee fan to take this the wrong way, though some of you will take this the wrong way. I have been to Subway Series since the beginning, 1997. And forever, it has always felt like it was bigger for us than it was for you. And this was the first time, obviously because Soto left and joined the Mets, and whether you wanted him to go or you're bitter or you're over it or whatever, wherever you fall on it, the Subway Series for the first time in my life mattered more for Yankee fans than it did for Met fans. And that's not me minimizing losing 2 out of 3. I'm not happy. I don't want anyone to think like, "Oh, Evan's just playing it off." No, I was pissed. I don't like losing 2 out of 3. I don't like losing 2 out of 3 to anybody. I don't like losing 2 out of 3 to the Yankees. I don't like leaving Yankee Stadium on a Sunday night with my 8-year-old. I don't like it. I don't like any of it. But it was the first time, to your point about the Subway Series, where it felt bigger for you. It just felt that way.
I think, look, I'm not going to get into a whole match on this. I just think the Yankee fan finally matched with the way the Met fan usually views this. I wouldn't say it necessarily meant more. I think it just meant a lot to both. It felt like a Yankee-Red Sox game to me. We sat there that first inning. The place was jumping. It was alive on Friday night. And it continued in the Sunday.
So you're admitting it mattered more to you, right?
No. I'm admitting now it finally mattered as much as it did to Met fans, which I thought were cool. I even saw, Evan, the scene yesterday. I'm walking up to the stadium. An 8-month pregnant woman with a F...
Taco to go, taco to,
and a big Q,
taco to go,
taco.
taco to go.
We just with you.
Quick Trip Taco, just $2.99. Comes with a big cube, this deal so fine. Brisket breakfast, so much to choose. For $2.99, you really can't lose.
Taco to go. Taco to go.
This deal legit.
Taco to go. Taco.
Only at Quick Trip.
Taco to go. Taco to go. Taco to go.
$2.99.
Juan Soto shirt on. I mean, now, does that say Subway Series in New York? That was great.
I think what you're trying to explain, and Tommy explained this to Jet and told him he should use this at school today, is that yesterday was what, Tommy?
Oh, let me be the first, Evan, to congratulate the Yankee fan for winning their World Series this weekend. See, it was your World Series, not ours. And it proves what I've been saying for months, that Big Brother in town, Met fan, didn't really care about the Subway Series. It was just another couple games in May where the Yankee fantique, it mattered.
Stop.
This was their World Series.
This is what you're telling yourself because you lost 2 out of 3.
Exactly.
I mean, I was in the building and I heard F. Juan Soto chants as I was leaving, not let's go Yankees.
Guys, it's not what Tommy's telling himself. It's what Tommy told Jet to say at school today. And I told Jet, listen, you do what you got to do.
Uh-huh.
I wouldn't advise this much, but Uncle Tommy is suggesting you do.
Here's why. When I looked at young Jet, and Jet is how old now, Ev?
8 years
8 years old. I saw a young Thomas Lugauer.
Don't say that.
Who grew up in the 90s.
Jeez, God forbid.
And dealt with a Yankee dynasty. And I could just see he didn't know exactly what to do when he went to school. So I went, you know what, Jet? Say this. And his eyes lit up. I'm like, well, don't tell your mother that I said this, that Uncle Tommy said it. But if a Yankee fan steps to you and acts all tough, hit him with that and you'll disarm him.
And I have been told that is his plan today. And I will give you a full update tomorrow on how that goes in school. Now let's get to your calls. 888-808-1019. We will address Juan Soto's lack of hustle coming up in the next 15 minutes. Let's go to Paul in Queens. How are you, Paul? Hello, Paul.
Paul, what's up?
Paul going once. Paul is gone. We'll go to Carlo in North Brunswick, New Jersey. What's up, Carlo?
Okay, I root for the Mets, but I'm a Yankee fan. Now I'll tell you why. I root for all New York teams. I root for the Knicks, the Giants, the Rangers. When I was a kid, there were no Mets, so they were never my enemy.
Okay.
Makes sense.
My enemy was the Red Sox and the Dodgers, the Brooklyn Dodgers.
All right.
Not the Dodgers now.
Okay.
I'm 85 years old.
All right. Sounds
so
great.
Before the season started, I was hoping that he would go to the Mets because I know he wasn't going to go to the Yankees, because they could not outbid Steve Cohen. Steve Cohen has a lot of money, and he doesn't depend on the Mets to make money.
Yes.
Steinbrenner, on the other hand, that's where he makes his money,
all
the
right.
Yankees. That's,
okay.
That's his paycheck.
All right.
So I knew he was not going to outbid for Soto.
All
now,
right. So what's your point?
I told my brother-in-law, all my brother-in-laws who are all Met fans, I was happy they got Soto. But don't expect too much. The guy is going to hit 285, and he's going to hit 30 home runs as a Met.
Okay, why did you expect
Mets
that?
Mets, you know, because where the Mets play is not Yankee Stadium.
I completely disagree with you. If he hits to left center, which he has done throughout his career, left center is a more hitter-friendly ballpark than Yankee Stadium. I don't want to hear about the ballpark.
Oh, wait, hold on.
The ballpark is not affecting him.
Hold on, Evan.
Yes.
Does this mean that Yankee Stadium ruined Juan Soto?
Well, maybe Carlo believes that.
Just,
I don't.
It just got me thinking about that.
But what evidence do you have for that?
Because he's not hitting because he's trying to pull the ball.
He wasn't doing that last year at Yankee Stadium, though. Like, the beauty of what he did last year is, he ended up hitting more home runs.
He crushed a couple into the second deck in right field.
But how many Yankee Stadium home runs did he benefit from last year? The answer is not really many.
No, you're right.
I don't think he could change his approach at all.
I'd have to go look at the Fangraphs thing and figure it out, but you're right. It felt like he was all over the ballpark.
The ballpark has not affected him. We're trying to figure out what it is, and maybe it's as simple as the pressure of the contract. And that's the easy one. That's the one I think most people will point towards, not because of anything about Juan Soto, but because that's what happens with guys who get massive contracts, whether their name is Jason Giambi or their name is Carlos Beltran. It happened a lot.
And it's accelerated because Juan Soto is the highest played player in all of New York sports. I mean, all American sports?
Yes. $765 million. Who else has that?
Yeah. I'm just trying to think. Per year? Per everything? I mean, you'd have to go to, I don't know, some international soccer to find that. And it's probably the Saudi guys. But other than that, he's the highest paid athlete.
So is that affecting him?
I mean, you can't help but think about it.
But what do you think?
Not even not think about it. It's probably not a daily thing. He's not waking up every day going, hey, I'm making $70 million this year. But he's, it's just something you know.
I think we assumed that Juan Soto wasn't going to pull a Beltran or pull even a Lindor or pull a Teixeira early on or a Giambi early on because he just experienced a year in New York in which you could argue he had more pressure because he was playing for the contract.
Yeah, but he
and so I think that experience led us to believe, well, he's not going to go through your typical first year, first few months New York struggle.
But he also wasn't the guy, wasn't the man on that team. That was Judge. And he's kind of not even with the Mets, so that's not the... I can't even say that's the issue, because Lindor's the guy.
And wouldn't
and
you think...
Alonso for the first part of the season has been the
but
guy.
But wouldn't you think playing to earn the money is more pressure than playing once you have the money?
Well, I mean, I remember when I was playing, guys, a lot of guys who get paid, they just would turn into different players.
Mm.
I saw
that with Muhammad Wilkerson.
Right,
it does happen.
Like, yeah, all right, you're good. You're not hungry anymore. But I don't think that's the case with Juan Soto. In fact, I know that's not the case with Juan Soto.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.